Welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we showcase some of the stories we've been working on from across the UK, from serious issues such as the appeal by baby killer Lucy Letby to the less serious but equally interesting stories about bugs and spuds. So let's get straight into it. My name's Louise Easton. I'm going to be your host over the next 10 minutes or so on Thursday, the 24th of October, 2024. We're going to start at the Court of Appeal, where our special correspondent Georgie Podromou has been all day. She's covering the case of Lucy Letby, who had wanted to appeal her conviction of attempted murder of a newborn baby girl. The 34-year-old convicted serial killer had already been found guilty of murdering 7 babies and the attempted murder of 6 others at the Countess of Chester Hospital. So, Georgie, why was she trying to appeal?
So this is about her most recent conviction of the attempted murder of a newborn baby. Lucy Letby's lawyers said there was overwhelming prejudice surrounding it because of the media coverage of her first trial. She was sentenced to a 15th whole life order for that following a retrial in July. Before that, she'd already received 14 whole life orders for her other crimes.
And what did the judges say?
These were 3 senior judges who refused permission to allow Letby to challenge this last conviction. And they say even though there was a lot of media scrutiny following that first trial, they didn't accept there was prejudice. Here's Lord Justice William Davis.
The outcome of the first trial undoubtedly led to an unusually large amount of publicity and online debate. That is because, on its facts, the case was extraordinary. Simply because the extent of the publicity was much greater than would normally be the case, of itself did not generate prejudice.
Lucy Letby gave no reaction in court, wearing a green dress, watching over video link from prison. Her barrister says she maintains that she isn't guilty of all her offences.
Okay, thanks, Georgie. Single-use vapes are going to be banned by next summer. Legislation has been laid out in Parliament, which means they'll no longer be able to be sold or supplied in England from the 1st of June. Here's the reaction of some people we've spoken to today.
I think all vapes should be banned.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what's in them. They don't care. I mean, I'm a smoker, and she has tried it before.
I went on to vape, and for a year I smoked a vape, and then I came off the vape. And I've been clean for 2 years.
They should keep them because it's better for kids than it is normal for cigarettes and tobacco.
All businesses will have until that deadline to sell any remaining stock and get ready for the changes. Our reporter Martha Tipper has been speaking to Ryan, who runs a vape shop in Debden in Essex.
The disposable ban is a good thing for the vaping industry because it just means vaping will come back to how it used to be.
Which is
it was only in vape shops. You know, and if disposables were locked down to just vape shops, this sort of thing wouldn't have come about as bad as it has. In here, you've got to be 18 to enter the shop. So making the ban being just disposables is perfect.
So you don't think it'll put you out of business?
No, of course not. No, the disposables that we have are a very small part of our business. Majority comes from the liquids, the actual devices and all that sort of stuff. That's where we make our money.
So actually it might help you out.
More than likely help me out more than anything, to be honest. Yeah.
Do you think it will help, like, less kids?
Yeah, 100%. Because a kid buying a single-use disposable is easier than me selling them, which I wouldn't do, a device with a pod kit, all that sort of stuff. Then they've got to choose liquid. Then it comes into nicotine milligram as well, because a disposable, a lot of people think that it's 2%, which they think is the lowest. It's actually 20 milligram, which is the highest we can legally sell in the UK. A lot of people don't realise that.
The government will work with devolved nations to make sure the date of the ban coming into force aligns. A dad whose family died in an e-bike fire in Cambridge is hoping people won't ignore the risks that rogue sellers can pose. We've been following Scott Peden's story since he lost his partner and 2 children at their home in Cambridge last year. It comes as ministers launch a new campaign warning against buying e-scooters and e-bikes from non-trusted vendors, which are more likely to be faulty and catch fire. Our reporter Dan Mason has been to see what Scott makes of the campaign.
I've met Scott at his house. He's moved from the flat he used to share with his family. And we spoke about whether this campaign will be enough.
It is completely down to the individual person. are they going to listen to this? And I just pray they will.
Ministers say hundreds of fatal fires in the UK have been caused by unsafe e-bikes. Locally, there are trusted sellers like Jamie McCallie, who runs Fenland E-Bikes, and says rogue sellers give people the wrong idea about the vehicles.
We don't want misinformation being spread and safety concerns not being addressed. There's absolutely no reason why electric bikes can't be perfectly safe.
Scott tells us he knows this campaign has come too late to help him, but he hopes that lives can be saved if people take notice of this advice.
Now, with Bonfire Nights almost 2 weeks away, you're probably not hearing fireworks being set off regularly. Well, not unless you live in a certain part of West Yorkshire, that is. People in Bradford tell us they're pleading for action to be taken to tackle nuisance fireworks. They say they're being woken up every night and threatened in their own streets. 26,000 people have signed a fresh petition saying the issue is only getting worse. Well, our Yorkshire correspondent Rosanna Robbins has more on this. And just so you know, the start of this report does include the sound of fireworks.
That's the sound people across Bradford are listening to every single night in the early hours. Kash Ahmed is from Friends of West Park.
I live up near the hospital, so there's a lot of patients in there. It's very disturbing for them. Both my kids have got to school, their sleep's getting disturbed. My dad works, he does early shifts, so he'll be waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so he's already being disturbed at that time.
In another area, adverts from a local shop are being left on car windscreens. I'm looking at that leaflet now, and it's advertising deals like £500 worth of fireworks for less than half price. And this shop is open till midnight at weekends. Cash says we need to see firm action.
Our instinct is call the police. The police will tell you it's not an emergency, we're not going to get there on time. And then they refer you to the council because it's a noise pollution issue. They say it's not our issue, it's after 11 o'clock, go back to the police.
The council says it is lobbying for tougher laws, while the government says it's launched a new safety campaign.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines. Now, I don't know about you, but just the mention of bugs can often make me feel all itchy. But for these poor people living in a small village in Northern Ireland, it's more than a feeling. They say they're being tortured by bug bites.
It's unbearable. So you're getting no use from your garden. Kids can't go out to play. We are housebound because of it. It's so bad.
There have been so many complaints, the council is now investigating, and North West reporter Chelsea Keeley has been finding out more about what's being dubbed the Ballykelly Bite.
Following an outpouring of frustration by hundreds of residents on social media, an investigation by Causeway Coast and Glens is now underway. The initial assessment says they're mosquitoes. Sinead lives in the village and says this year the bug bites are unbearable.
They've been, for the whole time I've lived here, we've been plagued with bites, and it has been really difficult at times. They're definitely worse now. And I think that especially this year in particular, it's to the point you just cannot go outside.
Samples of the insects have been sent for official confirmation.
And Tamworth in Staffordshire is famous for many things, like its castle, its pigs, and of course, its Spudman. Well, after gaining millions of followers on TikTok and rocketing to fame with his delicious baked potatoes, Ben Newman can now add published author to his list of accolades. Our reporter Alice Smith has been to meet him as he releases his Spudtacular cookbook.
His chicken curry, pulled pork, and of course, cheese and beans toppings are hugely popular with the locals. But his fan base stretches far and wide, and that's thanks to TikTok.
Literally today we have had Australians, Americans, yeah, all over the place. Like, and that's just on a daily basis.
The Spudman has 3.7 million followers and 82 million likes on the platform. And today he's even released a cookbook so you can make the perfect jacket potato at home.
Fame is weird. I just say I'm like little old Spudman from Tamworth, but we get to do all these awesome fun things. Meet loads of celebrities, Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds. We served them some potatoes not so long ago.
Some of those queuing at the van had come from overseas to try the famous Spuds.
When I booked the flights to Birmingham, I was like, oh my God, I have to get out to Spudman. So really, it was a real attraction for it.
What's it, my pal just said, come and see a Spudman. So I was like, yeah, I might as well go there.
Bring all my mates here as well, yeah. Tell them all to get down here. Yeah, it's a nice man, actually.
For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels, and be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.